Imagine looking down at your smartphone and realizing you never have to see the words no service ever again, like literally anywhere on earth.
Right. Or, imagine an AI that just it sits in your kitchen, watches you cook, reads your facial expressions, and suggests why you might be feeling stressed today.
Yeah, and all of that in real time. So we are unpacking a massive, just highly concentrated stack of tech news today. It's from a recent Tekin Knight report dated May 2026.
And this report, I mean, it dropped six explosive stories all at once.
Yeah, any single one of these could have been like the headline of the week, maybe the year. But our mission for this deep dive is to extract the actual signal from all this noise.
Exactly. Because while these six stories seem incredibly different, I mean, we're talking about global weather models and then video game prices, they all share this core unifying theme.
Right, the dissolving of boundaries.
Yes, we are looking at the erasure of boundaries between, corporate data and public access, between cellular dead zones and connectivity.
The vanishing gap between human intent and machine execution, too.
Yeah, and finally, the complete erasure of the boundary between the human body itself and the internet.
Wow. Okay, let's unpack this. We're going to start at the macro level. So, looking up at the sky and the atmosphere.
The big picture stuff.
Exactly. Because two massive tech deployments are suddenly putting like satellite level power directly into your hands. So first up is IBM and NASA.
Oh, wait.
They just open sourced a new model. It's called Prithvi Climate 2.0, and they put it on Hugging Face under an Apache 2.0 license.
Which is huge. That license means it's totally free, commercial, non-commercial, whatever.
Right. But what is it exactly? I mean, it's a 2.3 billion parameter transformer model, right?
Yeah, 2.3 billion parameters trained on 10 petabytes of data.
Like 10 petabytes? That's what, 10 million gigabytes?
Exactly. 10 million gigabytes of NASA satellite imagery, global meteorological data, remote sensing info, all of it.
Okay, so what does that actually mean for everyday people?
Well, historically, predicting weather meant relying on supercomputers, like grinding through highly complex physics-based fluid dynamic equations.
Right, the stuff that requires a $100 million data center.
Yeah, and takes hours just to run a single inference. But Prithvi Climate 2.0 bypasses all of that. It learns the complex nonlinear patterns directly from the data.
So it's not even using those rigid physics equations?
No, not really. And because of that, it can predict a hurricane's path 72 hours out with under 50 kilometers of error.
That's mind-blowing. And the best part is, you don't need a supercomputer. You can run this on a standard laptop GPU.
Right.
It's like Robin Hood breaking into the king's weather machine and just giving the blueprints to every farmer and student on Earth.
That is a perfect way to put it. And it's possible because of transfer learning.
Transfer learning.
Yeah. Think of it like taking a brilliant PhD graduate and just teaching them the local language. They already know how to analyze and solve complex problems. You just give them a tiny bit of local contact.
Oh, I see. So you don't have to train it from scratch.
Exactly. A startup in Bangladesh actually did this. They took IBM's pre-trained brain, fed it some local topographical data, and they predicted monsoon floods 3 days out.
Wow, 3 days in advance.
Yeah. And that saved 50,000 people. They were able to evacuate safely.
That is incredible. And this really feels like a slap in the face to closed AI companies. Like IBM is proving AI can serve humanity, not just shareholders.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of democratizing access, that brings us to the second massive deployment in the sky. Starlink's direct to cell.
Right. So SpaceX just flipped the switch for parts of North America and Europe. Their V2 satellites are acting as literal cell towers in space.
Yeah, SMS is live right now. Voice is coming in June. And 10 to 20 megabits per second internet by September.
And the crazy part is, it works on any 5G or LTE phone. No extra hardware, just your regular phone.
Yeah, which caused telecom stocks like T-Mobile and AT&T to instantly drop 3%.
But wait, let me play devil's advocate here. If my regular smartphone is suddenly trying to shout data into space to hit a satellite, isn't my battery going to just drain instantly?
Oh, yeah, that is the exact bottleneck. The power requirement is huge. Your battery will definitely drain faster.
Okay, so how does it even reach space without a massive antenna?
Well, the V2 satellites themselves have massive antennas to catch your phone's weak signal. But you still need a clear view of the sky. It won't work indoors or in thick forests.
Oh, got it. So I can't be doom scrolling social media from a cave.
No, definitely not.
But I guess if I'm a hiker with a broken leg in a ravine, I don't care if my battery dies in an hour. I just need a lifeline.
Exactly. It's a literal lifesaver. It eliminates global dead zones for rural communities and hikers. Though we should note there are still geopolitical limitations.
Right.
Like international sanctions. For example, in Iran, domestic policies mean access to this service is highly unlikely, regardless of the tech.
Ah, so the digital boundary is gone, but the political borders remain.
Exactly.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. Because if IBM and Starlink are democratizing access to nature, OpenAI is trying to dissolve the latency between human thought and digital action.
Right. Sam Altman's surprise unveil of GPT 5.5 Omni.
Omni.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, previous AI was like a slow translator, you know, like passing notes back and forth under a door.
Right. Totally.
You pass an image, wait, get text back. But Omni is sitting in the room with you watching you cook.
Yeah, because it's a unified architecture. It uses cross-modal attention instead of sequential processing.
Cross-modal attention. What does that actually mean for the user?
Basically, old AI stitched image-to-text models together. Omni doesn't do that. It processes natively across all modes. So you get zero latency.
Zero?
Well, 0.3 to 0.8 seconds. It's practically instantaneous.
Wow. And they demoed it solving math on paper visually, right?
Yes. And doing simultaneous translation and even recognizing human emotion in real time.
That is wild. And it's only $15 per 1 million tokens with a 256K context window.
Yeah, the technical leap is staggering.
But wait, let me ask the obvious question. Do we really want an AI that is constantly keeping our phone's camera and microphone active? Are we just opting into the ultimate surveillance tool?
That is the exact concern security researchers have.
Yeah.
I mean, OpenAI says they use on-device processing and give users granular controls.
Sure, they all say that.
Right. But researchers are highly concerned about vulnerabilities in the streaming architecture itself. If it's always streaming, the attack surface is massive.
Yeah, that is terrifying.
It is. But you also have to look at the massive accessibility gains. The source material highlights Omni helping a blind person cross the street in real time.
Oh, wow.
Or a doctor using it for real-time medical triage. Mm-hmm. The benefits are life-changing.
It's that classic trade-off, privacy versus incredible utility. But let's shift gears a bit. We've talked about AI monitoring physical reality. What about the virtual realities we actively escape into?
The gaming industry.
Exactly, because the boundaries of digital economies and consumer rights are shifting dramatically. Take-Two Interactive just confirmed that Grand Theft Auto VI is coming fall 2026.
Right.
And the standard edition is going to cost $80.
Yeah, the $80 price tag. This is a huge shift.
Gamers are furious, obviously. But if you look at the inflation math, GTA 3rd was basically $85 back in 2001, adjusted for inflation.
That's true.
And GTA Via has a $1 billion budget, 10 years of development. If you play it for 500 hours, mathematically, isn't it the cheapest form of entertainment you can buy?
Mathematically, yes. But Take-Two is using brute force monopoly power here. They know they are the only true AAA open world game in 2026.
Ah, so they're flexing.
Exactly. Bank of America actually noted that Take-Two is normalizing the $80 price point for the whole industry.
Wow, so everyone else will just follow suit.
Probably. But then you contrast that corporate strategy with Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Nintendo's president, Shintaro Furukawa, just confirmed the Switch 2 will have full backward compatibility.
Right. Both physical cartridges and digital eShop libraries.
Which caused a 3% stock surge. It added billions to their market cap.
Because it's a strategy of pro-consumer preservation. Nintendo learned a hard lesson from the Wii U era.
The Wii U, yeah, that didn't go well.
No, it sold only 13.5 million units. Partly because of a lack of backward compatibility. But the current Switch has 140 million install base.
That's a huge difference. So how are they making it work on the new console?
They're using a new custom NVIDIA chip.
Yeah.
It uses both hardware and software emulation to protect the consumer's investment without lag.
So your old games just run perfectly on the new system. That is so smart.
It builds incredible brand loyalty.
Okay, so we've talked about the devices we hold, the virtual worlds we buy, the AI that watches us. But this final story crosses the ultimate boundary.
The human skin.
Yeah, Neuralink. They just released info on their second patient, Alex Conley. He has a complete spinal cord injury.
Right.
And what they've done is, well, the tech is called the Link. It uses 1,024 ultra-thin electrodes inserted into the cortex.
Inserted by a robot, right?
Yeah, a 2 to 3 hour robotic surgery. And it has wireless charging.
Which is incredible on its own.
But the achievements are what's crazy. Conley controlled a 6-axis physical robotic arm to drink a glass of water. using only his thoughts. He types 40 words per minute, and he plays first-person shooters with 95% accuracy.
That's faster and more accurate than a lot of people using a keyboard and mouse.
Exactly. So what does this all mean? We went from clicking a plastic mouse to literally thinking a mouse into moving. It's like installing Bluetooth directly into the human nervous system.
He really is. But we need a stark reality check here.
Okay. What's the catch?
The terrifying ethical and cybersecurity implications. I mean, if a brain-computer interface, a BCI, has 200 megabits per second of data bandwidth...
Wait, 200 megabits into a human brain?
Yes. And it connects to a closed network. So what happens if it gets hacked?
Oh, man. That's a horrifying thought.
Neuralink claims they use military-grade encryption, but no independent security audits have been done yet.
That is alarming.
And look at the timeline. The short-term goal is medical miracles, like helping ALS patients. But the long-term goal, around 2032 and beyond, is cognitive enhancement.
Right. Elon Musk wants 10,000 people with the chip by 2030.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that risks creating unprecedented societal inequality.
Mm.
If only wealthy people can afford to enhance their brains, what happens to everyone else?
We're talking about a biological divide.
Precisely.
Man. Well, this really pulls all the threads together. I mean, think about it. Whether you are a student downloading a climate model for free.
Right.
Or a hiker texting from a dead zone. Or someone chatting with Omni while making dinner. Or a gamer paying $80 for the next GTA.
Or watching the BCI space evolve.
Yeah. Technology is no longer just a tool we use. It is the actual environment we live in. The boundaries are completely dissolving.
They are. And it leaves us with something really important to mull over. The What to Watch Next section of the report highlighted that the EU is already drafting AI guidelines for Omni.
Okay.
The FCC is reviewing Starlink's spectrum. And bioethics committees are furiously debating Neuralink.
But government moves so slow.
Exactly. Long-term FDA safety data takes 10 plus years. So consider this. If these boundary-breaking technologies are moving vastly faster than society's ability to govern them, who is actually writing the rules for your future?
Wow.
Is it the regulators or the engineers?
That is a heavy thought to leave off on. Who is writing the rules? Well, to everyone listening, keep questioning the world around you. Pay attention to those dissolving lines, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.